Others are investing in properties. Properties is good because in certain areas, most properties appreciate over time. If the building doesn't appreciate, but the land appreciates, and you can turn that into cash for your children if they're embarking on certain project. No, if you look at families that are doing well, I can assure you that those children were exposed to how to manage money at a very young age. So, and this is a big flaw in our educational system, because we teach theories, theories, theories. What are we doing with theory? Practical stuff that if you expose, even in kindergarten, they should start teaching kids.
Hello there, Mind Shakers.
Welcome to another episode of the Mind Shack Podcast.
This podcast has been developing and growing beyond our expectations.
We would really like to thank you. That's all. We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Hello, hello, greetings, Dumilang, Jumbo. Welcome to season 3 of the Mind Shack Podcast. Mind Shack is a Gen Z podcast that focuses on discussing social issues, entrepreneurial leadership, culture, and borders on topics in psychology for Africans. So today on episode 2 of season 3, we'll be talking about generational wealth. So let me explain what that is quickly and how we'll be talking about it. So by definition, generational wealth represents assets passed down from one generation to the next one. If you can leave behind a notable inheritance to your descendants, right there, that's generational wealth. These assets can include real estate, stocks, a business, anything which contains monetary value.
I'd like to introduce my co-host, Rudo Gumbo. How are you doing, Rudo?
Hey, Shane. You know, it's always a pleasure to be hosting with you. I'm excited for this episode. I think we don't really, you know, we don't often talk about generational wealth and basically what we're going to leave for our, you know, children and their children's children. So I'm quite interested to see and hear what we're going to be talking about.
Dr. Kangami, I'd like to ask you, why did you accept our invitation to come and be our guest on this episode?
Thank you, Shane. This is when I got the invitation to share my perspective on intergenerational wealth, I realized that it's a good idea to talk with young people, because I've always been thinking, and I've also had several conversations on this particular topic with colleagues, how the Black race as a whole is finding it challenging to build this intergenerational wealth, which is very, very important for long-term sustainable growth. So when I was reached out, I said, why not have this conversation? Why I contribute? I'm sure I'll also learn something from the young people.
Well, let's go in right away. And so I don't know, well, something I've always heard is that generational wealth is the only way to build wealth in a family. What do you think about the idea that generational wealth in Africa is blocking economic growth of the rest of the population?
Well, when we look at it closely, you realize that the present situation in most part of sub-Saharan Africa doesn't even allow us to build intergenerational wealth, because intergenerational wealth is not only supposed to be in a family. And if, for example, if we narrow down even to a family, you realize that in many parts of Africa, we have what we call this vicious circle of poverty, that even if you, Shane, maybe you're blessed and you, through your hard work, you're able to accumulate wealth and you want to pass it on to your children, but you realize that since we are so attached to family, and family is a very important institution in Africa, most of the income you generate will be used to sponsor not only your children, but the children of your nieces, nephews, parents. And again, most of the time they don't put in much effort, but because they are family, so they tend to pull you down. And at the end of the day, you have very little to pass it on to your children. On the other hand, you realize that even if in many African traditions, when you have accumulated enough wealth, you have written down your will to pass on so that your children can continue to build on what you have left. But family anchors, they come and seize with impunity from the children and your wife, and they are left with very little. So that is some of the challenges we are facing in sub-Saharan Africa.
All right, so have you thought about the wealth that you will possibly pass on to your family? I mean, you can just touch on maybe the emotions that you go through, sometimes how hard it is, you know, sometimes making tough decisions, sacrifice, etc. Take us through that journey.
Okay, you see, like, for example, we grew up and what we would likely inherit from our own parents are their debt. It is very likely that the day my father will pass away, we will see a long list of people that he is owing, and probably the little land that he is living on, maybe he has already given out to it to as a collateral to get money from people. So that is unfortunate. And since I'm aware of all the challenges that my siblings and I have gone through, and the fact that some of my siblings were not even able to go to school because of lack of finance, I'm doing everything possible to avoid the same situation, the same vicious cycle to my children. You see, first, the highest investment that you can give your child is the investment education, not only secular education. Education in this sense is holistic, you know, for them to grow and become productive citizens. Now, when you do that, that's the first step. You have passed on a very huge asset to them. Then secondly, in addition to that, I will ensure that they go to a very, not just university, I'm an educator, but figure out their interests at a young age and see how I can support and we harness the skills so that they can become independent at a very young age. Now, if I'm fortunate to have assets, because one way to also build wealth is investing in assets. You see, savings is good, but you know how saving, liquidity, it depends on the country, and it is what is the functions of money? Medium of exchange, store of value, but the way banks are printing money these days, it erodes the value. So if you tend to save, for example, 100,000 rand, in 10 years, the value might earn some interest, but the value of that rand will erode because of the quantity of money that they do print. So it is not advisable. While you have a small quantity of liquidity for emergency, but over and above, you need to invest in assets. Investing in assets now depends from one country to another, from one person. Some will choose stock. Yeah, stock is really fluctuating. Now, another group of people are anticipating that the future is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is more stable, and it has, so some are heavily investing in Bitcoin. Others are investing in properties. Properties is good because in certain areas, most properties appreciate over time. If the building doesn't appreciate, but the land appreciates, and you can turn that into cash for your children if they're embarking on certain project or they need money for their investment. So to summarize, I will suggest that investment asset is one way in which you can really pass on to your children. But above all, before asset and investment, investing in their education is very important. Then have a very small amount of liquidity in a bank in case of emergency, but over and above, ensure that you choose which one. There are a lot of financial planners, there are a lot of videos how to can learn how to invest. Some, there are different theories, but just see the ones that you're comfortable, because there are others that people are not comfortable. But investing in assets is the way to go, and ensuring that your children have a very good education, not luxurious education. Invest in them to become better citizens and expose them to the world, community service, service to mankind. And for that reason, you will not regret.
I know my next question might be easy to answer, but why are so many of the wealthiest families in Africa linked to political power?
When we talk about intergenerational, where we are looking at your own sweat and blood, if it is your own sweat and blood, that is more sustainable and you will pass it on to the next generation. But most of the time, you see a wealthy person, very wealthy, and then when a new regime takes over, they confiscate all that wealth and they escape to Europe and America and other parts of the world, and that's it, it's gone. Their money is frozen. So that is dishonest means of accumulating wealth. And when you do that, you deprive so many others, and that is not healthy for the growth of your community or the country. So in this case, we are talking about honest means, hard work, all the wealth you generate or you earn, the money you earn, the income you earn, it is through sweat and blood.
So we're already halfway through the episode. We don't want to play a game at this time, so we'll be playing Two Truths, One Lie. So I'll be giving out three statements and you'll have to guess which one is false. These are all based on Africa. Number one, the capital of Sudan is Juba. Number two, Senegal borders Mali. And statement number three, there is a river called the Orange River.
Juba is not the capital of Sudan.
Hey, that's correct, sir. Well done.
So the next set is, okay, the three statements are, South Sudan is the world's newest nation. Number two, there are no Spanish-speaking countries in Africa. Number three, the strongest currency in Africa is the Libyan dinar.
The statement that is incorrect is the one that there is no Spanish nation in Africa, because Equatorial Guinea, the official language, it is Spanish. Yeah, they do speak Spanish.
That's correct, sir. Correct, correct.
To our listener, thank you. Thank you for all your support and feedback. We see it, and it's the fuel that ignites our journey. Please remember to like, continue to give us your comments on Instagram, subscribe, and share our podcast with at least two friends as we continue to improve your experience. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So let's go back to the questions.
So, you know, recently I saw a post by Jackie Chan, and he said that he won't leave his $3 million inheritance to his son, because he thinks that he is capable of making his own money. And he said that if he isn't capable of making his own money, that means he's going to mismanage his money that he's going to pass on. So my question to you is that, what's your counter to that? How do you think generational wealth can be maintained in a healthy way after passing it down?
Okay. Jackie Chan, on one hand, he's right. But on the other hand, remember that no matter how wealthy you are, you have to bring up your children in the right way for them not to depend on your resources. I've seen that in many cases where families are extremely rich. I know of one person that... the siblings are all rich, but he has educated his children, and now they have very good jobs and they are building their own wealth, not depending on their parents. And again, those children, their grandparent recently passed away, and they have all these assets that their father will inherit. But at the same time, their father has enormous wealth, worth more millions of dollars. Do you see that? So my point is that no matter how rich you are, you educate your children to grow up independently and not depending on your wealth. But in Africa, I've seen situations where children are praying that their parents should die so that they can take over. And that's not healthy. You know, in that case, Jackie Chan is right, because once they take over that wealth, they will mismanage. And I'm sure you can testify with me. You know examples of many wealthy families that once the man passed away, the children mismanaged the wealth. I can testify from my country, Cameroon, where they were very rich, influential people. But once they passed away, their children, they start fighting, killing each other, and mismanage the wealth. So my point is that no matter how wealthy you are, educate your children, bring them up to be independent. they should be aware that they have nothing to do. They are not entitled to your wealth. But if they do qualify, they can manage. But if they are not qualified, we need to figure out trustees, lots of different types of trustees and institutions to manage that wealth once you move on to the next world.
So I hear you talking about how important it is to teach your children how to be independent and teach them how to make their own money. So does that go through talking about money with them at a young age?
At a young age, yes, you need to introduce the concept of how to manage money and how they have to grow with that mindset of being entrepreneurial. Yeah, you support them. You see whatever ways you can do to ensure that your children at a very young age, they start this, they become entrepreneurial business. Yeah, they know how to, they know demand and supply. When there's a, when they could identify needs of people and they are able to start providing some of those services and earning income. But we don't do that to our children. We just allow them to have access to our money and mismanage. And when they grow up, they will do the same. So it's a matter of education, educating our children at a young age. And we should always have a very strict relationship with the bigger, with the external family, to know that your wealth does not depend on your brothers or on your aunt, because that will lead to serious fight once you pass on.
All right, so maybe I'm mistaken, but do you think that, you know, there should be an actual like syllabus on generational wealth? Do you think it can actually be taught to young children when they're still in their, you know, primary foundation and learn how to build generational wealth? Or do you think it's just a skill that should be kept within like your kin?
No, if you look at families that are doing well, I can assure you that those children were exposed to how to manage money at a very young age. So, and this is a big flaw in our educational system, because we teach theories. What are we doing with theory? Practical stuff that if you expose, even in kindergarten, they should start teaching kids that how much did you save this week? From your, if your family gives you 10 rand each day for your lunch, are you able to spend it and keep 2 rand so that at the end of the month in your kindergarten class, your teacher now will ask, how much have you saved for the whole month? And what can you do with the money you have saved? So by the time they get to primary school, their knowledge has improved. By the time they get to secondary school, these, you realize that a lot of these kids now do not consume all their pocket money. They're now thinking about investment. I can assure you, when they get to high school, college, they have a lot of business ideas and they have savings with them. And their parents will be surprised how much some of them can save. But without this, to be honest, all the money that these kids earn, they will consume. And when parents educate them that you need to earn money to buy stuff for yourself, your sneakers, some of your clothes, your computer, your iPad, you need to earn the money to buy, they will start using their money in a proper way. And that is one form in which they can actually grow their wealth.
You know, this is a lot of young people. They like saying, you know, I want to enjoy my life. You know, they don't want to think about other people and other responsibilities, even though they do have. So what advice would you give to young people listening right now who want to start today planning for their generational wealth and still, you know, find that balance between, you know, enjoying their life?
Okay. When I hear people talking about, I want to enjoy my life, it is not really enjoyment. To be honest, it's not. If you look at what they do in the name of enjoyment, it's not really enjoyment. You know, enjoyment has to do with a life full with meaning, happiness. When you go and drink, party weekend, take drugs, go and you pass out, do you call that enjoyment? It's not a meaningful life. A meaningful life has a purpose. You know, that is it. So step one, start today that my monthly income, whether I receive it from my family or whatever, I will consume only 80%. I cannot consume. If I get, no matter my situation, if I get 10 rand today, I will not spend the 10 rand. that's a you're now starting to be disciplined, discipline yourself that I cannot spend all what I earn. No matter my situation, I'm going to spend not more than 80% of what I earn. In that case, you discover that over time, your marginal propensity to save is going to increase. And for that reason, you will always have surplus no matter what. And you will be able to solve some minor problems without referring back to your parents. And that's the first step. Then from there, others can follow. If you are able to save and you tell your parents that, mom, dad, I've able to save this percentage of my pocket money, but I need this amount to do this. Your parents can happily step in because they realize that you have developed a certain form of, you're now disciplined. You don't spend all what you earn. But if they ask you, how much do you have? You say zero, I've been spending all what you earn. They'll see you as irresponsible. So step one for young people, practice not to spend all what you earn. You can go and party once in a while, but not make it a habit. You can go and have fun with your friends, but don't indulge in certain practices that you'll regret. Just devise a life full with meaning.
Well, that's a really nice way to end the podcast, the 80-20 rule by Dr. Kangami. Thank you for listening to this episode on generational wealth in Africa. To all Mind Trackers, we encourage you to go out there and share anything you might have learned today. Special thanks to Dr. Kangami for coming. It's been a really good experience, and I hope to see you again. Thank you, Rudo, as well, for being my co-host.
Thank you so much for listening through to the end.
If you enjoyed it, please like and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. But come on, let's do all of them, you know?
There's going to be more exciting episodes to come. So don't forget to follow us on Instagram at MIND_SHACK_.
So see you on the next one.